There was a young minister asking a more seasoned veteran minister about some counsel about how to perform a wedding ceremony. He was about to perform one. And so the senior minister was telling him some things to keep in mind and going through the vows that he was sure he would want to use. And he said, but if you forget some of these things, just quote some scripture. It's always good to quote scripture. And so the young preacher was performing the wedding ceremony, and sure enough, his mind went blank. So he said, well, I'm going to quote some scripture. But the only scripture that came to mind was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, that's horrible. I hope my mind never goes blank in performing a wedding ceremony. But I want to ask you something on a very serious note. What if after the wedding? What if years down the road in your marriage relationship, you're asking something similar? What have I done? Why did I get married to this man, to this woman? When you're going through difficult times, when you just can't seem to get along, why stay married? When you're fighting all the time, when you're both just extremely miserable, if you could cut the tension in your home with a knife, why stay married? When you're tired of trying to work things out, why stay married? There's a deeper question I want to ask than this, and it's really the heart of it. The question is really, why put in the hard work that is required to make your marriage strong? Because what we're not seeking to emphasize here is just agreeing to stay under the same roof and coexist. That's not God's design for marriage. What we're really asking is it worth it to put in the hard work that's required to get over the obstacles, to go through the trials, to see it through to the other end, to stay married, and not only that, stay committed to making your marriage strong until death do you part? I like Ricky's analogy. He said, we're not talking about a tour of duty on a battleship. We're talking more about a cruise on the Love Boat. That is, in doing all that we can to make our marriage strong, loving, working through problems, staying together, and wanting to stay together. Why stay married? Why go through those difficulties and those challenges? And why refuse to throw in the towel and do whatever you possibly can with God's help to make your marriage work? Why stay married? I want to suggest some reasons why this morning. Number one is because it's God's design for marriage. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Leaving, cleaving, and weaving. This was the earliest, most definitive statement about marriage that God gave. It was in the context of the first marriage of Adam and Eve. But here's this instruction for marriages that would take place after that, on through time, even to our day. If you want to know God's plan for marriage, here's a great statement of it. A man shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Principle number two in this passage is cleaving. And it has the idea of permanence in marriage. And marriage means, by God's definition, a lifetime of cleaving, of clinging to one another, of staying together. And yes, that's through the difficult times, working through those times, having that permanence there. That's God's design. That word cleave means to glue, to cling, and it means to unite or cement together so that the two cannot be separated without damage to both. Super glue. Making that marriage strong, cleaving permanently. The lifelong nature of marriage and the concept of permanence is seen in Jesus' words in Matthew 19. Jesus was asked by some Pharisees that were just testing him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife just for any reason?" And they wanted to see how Jesus was going to answer this. And what Jesus did was went back to the beginning, to this passage that we just cited. And he said, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, Genesis 2:24, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Haven't you read that? That's God's plan for marriage. Divorce isn't God's plan. Rather, it's permanence. It's lifelong. It's till death do you part. He went on to say, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." That's God's design for marriage. As we consider these things, I'm not trying to beat up folks who have been through a failed marriage. For those of you who did everything that you possibly could to keep that marriage intact. But it takes two, doesn't it? It takes two. It may be that the one to whom you were married just would not try to work it out, did not stay true to that vow of this permanence, of cleaving, clinging to one another through thick and thin. But I am speaking to those of us who are married and may be going through some difficult times, may have been or will go through difficult times. To remind us of what God designed marriage to be, He designed it to be permanent. Romans 7 verse 2, "The woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband." Paul's using that as an illustration of the old law, the new. But the concept, the principle is there about marriage. It is till death do you part. The two are cemented and welded together so that they cannot be separated without damage to both. It's a lifelong commitment. By the way, I'm also speaking to those of you who one day want to be married, that we need to understand God's design before we say "I do" and be willing to commit to it. Why stay married? Why work through the difficult times? Why do that hard work that is required to make a marriage, a relationship thrive? Because number one, that's God's design. And number two, it's best for the family. It's best for the family. I shouldn't have to say that, because if it's God's design, you know it's best for the family. He designed marriage. He designed the family. That's His idea. And so He knows what works. And what He says is to be a lifelong commitment to living and to loving each other for life. And of course that's best for the family. And not just the husband and the wife, but for the children. There's been a lot of research, a lot of studies done about the effects of divorce on children. I don't have time to go through some of that research. But I think it's obvious the effects that divorce can have on children and how hard parents who go through that have to work at making sure their children are okay. But it's not just divorce. But it's in that marital relationship, in seeing the struggles that go on. If a picture paints 1,000 words, we don't have to discuss the effects that a troubled marriage can have on our families and on our children. But notice this. Here's a quote from Donnie Hilliard and Nick Stanay. "Kids who see their parents loving each other feel secure in the longevity of their family. Their parents' commitment to each other also shows the parents' commitment to the children and to the family as a whole." So what are we saying is that if we are committed to making our marriage work and digging in and making it through the difficult times, what are our children learning from this? Our children are learning that, yes, relationships take work, but if we're willing to work at it, and if they see mom and dad working through problems in their relationship, that gives them a sense of security. It also teaches them about what it takes to have the marriage relationship, what it takes to be a member of a family, that you don't throw in the towel, that you don't just abandon ship, but that you do the hard work that it takes to make it through. Well, how do you stay married? If you're going through the difficulties, how do you stay married? Let me give you three principles from God's Word that I believe will help us answer this question. Number one, and we've emphasized this already, we must learn to think of marriage as a permanent relationship. As a permanent relationship. Because it's obvious that many people in our culture no longer look at marriage in this way. It seems there's been a competition among some, even some celebrities, about how short a marriage can last. Catherine Oxenberg and producer Robert Evans split after only 12 days of marriage. Carmen Electra and Dennis Rodman, their marriage lasted only 9 days. Dennis Hopper and Michelle Phillips lasted only 8 days. But the record at this writing was by Robin Givens and tennis pro Marinkovic, whose life together was less than 24 hours. It reminds me of a Hallmark card that said, "I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today." And that's abused. But that's so much of what we hear in the world. It's not till death do you part. It's until disagreements arise. Or until I just don't love you anymore. That's not God's design. It takes two. And I am speaking to those who are either married or want to be one day. That we must recognize that one of the greatest causes of today's high divorce rate is the fact that many couples enter marriage believing it to be terminable. We'll just try it and see. If it doesn't work, I'll find somebody else. A relationship that is built upon that kind of foundation is doomed. No marriage can last if there's always the option of quitting when things get tough. Jesus echoed what Moses wrote by inspiration. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It's to glue or to cling in a permanent sense, a lifelong union. And I like what one married couple said. From day one and every day thereafter, husbands and wives must maintain the attitude, "I'm in this marriage for keeps." Never ever entertain the thought of quitting. Mark Adams wrote, "God did not issue this command to restrict us or to make us miserable. It is just that as the inventor of marriage, he knows that real love and fulfillment exists only in conditions where there is long-term trust and commitment." There's the foundation for a strong marriage. So we need to understand the permanence of marriage before going into it and being a part of it. Number two, how to make our marriages last and strong, we need to learn to love each other the way God loves us. There's a very stark difference between God's love and the typical love that sinful humans express to each other. Human love is a selfish love. Human love, on strictly human level, is a selfish love. It is oriented toward the lover, the one doing the loving. It's a love that's based on a feeling that's fueled by whether or not the other person pleases me. It's focused around what the other person does for me. And the problem with this human caliber of love is that it's not nearly strong enough to withstand the storms that will come. Because a selfish love is a weak love. My heart broke when I read this. Erwin Lutzer tells about a woman who came to him in tears. And she had a cast on her arm and scars on her face. And he began to inquire, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And she explained that she had been through a serious fire. And 2/3 of her body had been burned. And she was in the hospital recovering from the surgeries and knowing that there were going to be scars, and her husband comes in, takes one look at me, she says, and said, "You're not the woman that I married." And he left her to marry someone younger and more beautiful. That's human love. That's selfish love. That's not the type of love that's going to make our marriages strong. Human love says, as long as you please me, as long as I can be proud of you, as long as you're beautiful, I can love you. But look at divine love, God's kind of love. Instead of being selfishly based on the one loving, it's selflessly based on the one loved. Divine love involves not feeling, but sacrificial action. But God commends, He demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't because we were lovely that God gave Jesus, but because He loved us. And He acted upon that love. He was not selfish, but selfless. Jesus was selfless as He willingly went to the cross on our behalf. He's demonstrating the kind of love, the deepest kind of love, that when it's in our marriages, provides the key to making them strong. And the wonderful thing about this is when we commit to acting in love toward our spouse, we experience a depth of passion that is not found in any other way. You may remember the woman who came to a lawyer and said, "I want to get a divorce, but I want to make it hurt." So the lawyer advised, "Well, I'll tell you how you can make it hurt. You're going to divorce him anyway, so let's say for 3 months, don't criticize him. Speak only well of him. Build him up. Every time he does something, commend him for it. When he does something nice, tell him what a great guy he is. Do this for 3 months. And then when he's feeling so good, tell him, 'I want a divorce.' And that'll hurt him deeply." She thought, "That is going to work. I can't go wrong with that." And so for 3 months, she complimented him. She told him what a great man he was. She was kind to him. And tried to help him every way that she could, just to build him up. And as she began, she thought, "In 3 months, I'll lay him flat with those words." But after 3 months, this couple forgot about the divorce and went on a second honeymoon. Why? Because there was an intention to act lovingly. And when that action was made, it led to the passion that had been absent. It's a divine kind of love that causes you to put your mate above your own needs. And as Bill and Meredith Jones wrote, "Put the other mate first, and this will usually come back to you in spades." But it requires a divine kind of love, selfless instead of selfish. You put the needs of the other above your own. And only God can help you do that. Which brings us to the third point. God must be the central part of the husband-wife relationship. There's a little boy who after Sunday school was telling his dad about what they had studied in Bible class. And he told his dad that they had studied about how Jesus went to a wedding and and performed a miracle, turned water into wine. And the dad was curious, "Well, son, what did you learn from that?" And the son thought for a moment and he said, "If you're going to have a wedding, make sure Jesus is there." That's a great application. If you're going to have a wedding, make sure Jesus is there. I've said marriage takes two, but it really takes three. It requires a commitment on the part of the husband and the wife, both to be committed primarily and foremost to God. And the beauty of the marriage triangle is that as husband and wife strive to grow in their love and relationship with God, that as a result, they draw closer together. But you can also see if one is drawn closer to God and the other isn't, it causes them to be further apart. God's design is this marriage triangle, with God being the focal point. That's what makes the marriage strong. He is the glue that holds the home together. A husband and wife who leave God out of their relationship never really understand what it means to love one another. They only scratch the surface. They don't know the depths of the level of intimacy that is available when husband and wife love God supremely. They're like carpenters trying to build a house without a foundation. And when the inevitable storms of life come, whether it be financial troubles or sickness or death, well, godless homes have a hard time standing. Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. And the difference between the two is the foundation." It's going to be a foundation built upon God and His Word on the sinking sands of any other level of commitment. In the family where both husband and wife love God supremely and then each other next, there's a uniting force and a strengthening force which is absent in marriages where God is ignored. To stay married, understand and commit to God's design for the permanence of marriage. Love one another with divine love, the kind of love that God has for us, active, selfless, seeking the best interest of the other. And then put God at the center of your marriage. But I want to go back to a previous question. Why stay married? Why work on your relationship, even when it gets tough? We've answered because that's God's design for marriage. That you work through, that you stay together, that you commit to God and to that foundation for marriage, and that you don't allow anything to come between you. It's best for the family. But I want to suggest a third reason. There's a reward. There are rewards to reap. I read about Gordon and Norma Yeager. March 26, 1939. Norma Stock graduated from high school that morning. That evening, by 10 p.m., she was married to Gordon Yeager. And for the next 72 years, they were hardly apart. They just loved being together, said their son Dennis. Their daughter Donna agreed. They always did everything together. They weren't apart. They just weren't. According to Dennis, it was Gordon that was the outgoing one, the life of the party. But Norma, his mother, would support him in everything. He would have been lost without her. 72 years later, Gordon, 94 years old, Norma, 90. They became concerned about what would happen when one of them died. He said, I have to stick around. I can't go until she dies because I have to stay here for her. And she would say the same thing that Dennis said. On October the 12th, 2011, they were in a car accident in their hometown of State Center, Iowa. They were sent to the hospital with multiple injuries. At first, they were in separate rooms, and as both of them were being treated for their injuries, very serious injuries, each of them was asking about the other. And finally, when they determined they're not going to survive these injuries, they brought them in the room together. And each of them reached over and held the hand of the other. Gordon, age 94, passed away in the middle of the afternoon. But everyone was amazed that even though he had passed, his heart monitor was indicating there is still a heartbeat. But what they realized, it was Norma's heartbeat passing through their hands. She passed away an hour later. Neither one would have wanted to be without the other. Donna, their daughter, said, I couldn't figure out how it was going to work. We were so blessed, honestly, that they went this way. What are the rewards of staying together, of working it out, of, yes, going through the inevitable storms, but remaining committed to one another and to God? The reward is having that constant companion who's been there for you, who's been through the difficult times, but has refused to quit, has refused to give in, to throw in the towel, but have maintained that love for one another that can only come from a commitment to God. That's why you stay married. That's why any difficulty is worth the effort of working through it. That's God's design. All of us are blessed to catch a glimpse of oneness in marriage. That's why we stay married. Perhaps this morning, it's your desire to make a commitment to God, to living for Him, not just in your marriage, but in your life personally. Perhaps this morning, you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a child of His, and make that commitment to Him, to become a member of the bride of Christ, and remain faithful to Him for the rest of your life. It may be that others of us need the prayers of the church. Maybe we're struggling in some aspect of our lives, including our marriage. And we need to ask for the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us find the strength and determination that we need to, with God's help, work through those issues. If you're subject to the invitation, please come right now as we stand and sing.